The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Moyet. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyet, and we have countdown, folks. Two more days remaining for the opening of the 2012 NFL Draft. This has to be the second biggest day for NFL history. Obviously, the Super Bowl being the number one. But what's so unique about this draft this year is there's so much depth. This is probably one of the best draft class that we've seen in a long, long time. And of course, you know, carefully carving our way through this, really making sure we don't make any mistakes and understand where the hidden surprises are and everything, has been our trusty coach here, Coach Huntley, Coach Ricky Huntley. And he's just been guiding us through this process and really making us take some introspective looks at the different picks at different levels. And it's just important because to have that guidance, because if you look at any 10, you know, mock drafts, none of them are the same. And if anything happens at three that is different than most of the consensus is saying, we could have a totally different draft than what we're expecting. So with the current collective bargaining agreement, where, you know, your rookie salaries are pretty much predestined, it's very interesting to see exactly what could happen on Thursday. So I think it's just going to be as hot as the American Idol on Thursday to watch that opening of the draft. But at this time here, I want to bring back and open up our war room officially and welcome Coach Ricky Huntley back to the show. Welcome back to the show, Coach.
Thank you, Ida. Glad to be here.
You ready to crack the whip tonight?
Ready to go.
We're going to crack the whip tonight because we're going to dig down deep. We're going to look at a lot of the things that are hanging over this draft and see if we can sort it out even a little bit further. I know you gave us a lot of tips last time that we were on here, and they were both very important on both sides of the ball. But now we're going to be looking at each slot here all the way to 32 and just seeing what we've got we're looking forward to here. And it's important, I guess, obviously, for those who are listening out there to maybe even take some notes. I think that's important. Now, one interesting thing, Coach, is that the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars are requesting that potential draft picks have their spouses interviewed. What you say on that, Coach?
Well, you know, when you talk about a first-round draft pick, a player who is going to be not only just representing his football team, you know, if you have an individual who's married, you know, their conduct can affect the team as well. But I don't think it's just going to be just football per se anymore. The money is just too big for people to take chances. And it's not like they didn't do this in the past, because they would go back and they would talk to parents. They would talk to teachers. They would talk to everybody who that player was involved with to try to get as clear a picture as possible before they make that selection. So it's not a surprise to me that they would want to talk to spouses.
But it kind of tells you a little bit that when you're looking at that choice for Jacksonville, that you better also look at who's on his arm, too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if it's a Playboy bunny, that's not going to work, especially with this particular owner, okay? Or, you know, again, they're going to be looking at, you know, where is the substance there? What's going to keep him calm? Is he grounded when he comes in there? So it'd be interesting to go back and look at who you have on your draft board in terms of that spot, because it better be a family-oriented type person. I think that's what they're looking for. No more of these shooting the dog just because they got great talent. Would you agree with me, Coach?
I agree 100%. You know,
you couldn't see it. We could not see a Janoris Jenkins sitting there.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's a huge investment, and you can't fault them for wanting to turn over every stone that they can to make sure they're making the right selection.
All right. Now, there's no surprises at number one. We already know Andrew Luck, and so when the coach came out and declared today he's their first pick, we said, duh. Okay, Irsay, go back to your hole. You've already, you know, played with this thing long enough. We knew you wanted Andrew Luck. Go back to your hole. So he made the announcement today. We say, duh. Okay? Then we get in here, and we're hearing the rumblings down at the Saints, okay? This is important because Brees has not signed with the Saints yet. He still has not signed with the Saints. That's a great quarterback sitting out there that actually could affect the choices of quarterbacks in this draft, because the new news is that they may have eavesdropped on opposing teams' conversations, that in fact their stadiums were wired, and it's so bad that the state and the FBI is investigating this.
Wow.
What do you say on that? Because, I mean, the Saints doesn't have anybody in the first round, but the Patriots do. And so this may also go back to the Patriots won a couple Super Bowls and the Saints won a Super Bowl. Do they have anything to do with this eavesdropping?
Well, you know, I don't really know how much information you gather from that, if that is actually happened. You know, I've kind of been out of the loop on this part of the saga with the Saints. You know, I went back home for a funeral. But, you know, I think... there's a lot more information that needs to come out on that before we start speculating about what actually happened.
Let's just put that on hold, but it's interesting that Brees hasn't signed yet.
Well,
that's,
you know...
That sounds like that's a little bit suspect. He's a company man.
Well, if you drew Brees, it gives you that much more leverage.
Okay, and I guess all this coming out must be scaring him to death because he's also a family man, too.
Yeah, but he won't be starving, that's for sure.
For sure. Well, it, again, going back to the Jacksonville, you know, interviewing spouses in the news, a little ancillary issue. Deion Sanders has his wife arrested because she brings a friend into the house, allegedly, and jump on him in front of his children. And so, again, that might be what Jacksonville is saying. We don't want that kind of stuff in the league here. So, you know, they get these tumultuous divorces. They all seem great, and then all of a sudden these divorces come, and we see this craziness going on. The Falcons have nothing to lose in the first round. They go out and they pick up Asante Samuel. What do you say there, Coach?
Well, Asante Samuel, you know, he'll be a good foot for the Falcons. They have an excellent coordinator down there with Mike Nolan and an excellent, exceptional secondary coach in Tim Lewis. And, I mean, he'll fit right in, and he'll help make that secondary strong, one of the tops in their division.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, one of the most debatable players in this draft is Ryan Tannehill. And it's interesting when I look at the different mock drafts, they have him going to the Browns. If he doesn't go to the Browns, they have him going to Miami. They also have him falling all the way to the Chiefs. And the problem with this is that it seems to, they seem to say that there's a third quarterback out there. Is it Ryan Tannehill? Because he also played wide receiver before he came over to the quarterback. And if you look at his numbers, they're just not that impressive. What do you think about Ryan Tannehill?
Well, remember, Ryan Tannehill is a Texas A&M guy, and his coach is now with the Dolphins. And if I'm a bet man, I'm putting my money that Tannehill will be a Dolphin before he be another with any other team.
Okay, okay. We'll go ahead and rubber stamp that. Now, you know, we're hearing a lot about character, and how much character plays in this. And, you know, I was listening to the coach from Tampa, and he was saying that everybody was trying to talk about the Wunderlich test, which was Clay Burns' number 3, and then Tannehill got a 36 to be a quarterback. So a lot of these Wunderlich scores are being leaked. Somebody's leaking them, and Goodell has said he's really going to find out what's going on with that, because that's happening out there, just trying to, you know, devalue these players, okay? But it hasn't hurt Claiborne at all. In fact, they've got Claiborne going at number 3, almost in a consensus now, where we thought that Khalil was going to go at number 3. And we talked about this in our last conversation, and we said here, okay, Khalil is the best player, the best fit for the Vikings, because they've got, you know, Adrian Peterson here, they got Ponder there, you know. What scenario could you see Claiborne going at number 3 and upsetting the whole draft?
Well, I think what you look at the history of who the coach is and who the coach picked last year. Last year, the coach picked a quarterback, and he's a defensive-minded coach. And so, you know, the consensus would be that Coach Frazier would want a defensive player. He went quarterback last year on offense, so maybe he's going to go defense this year with Claiborne. I think that they're in a situation where they have this stadium issue. They need to win now, and I think that you're going to win a lot sooner by scoring points and putting points on the board. And the way to put points on the board is to protect that quarterback and hand that football off to that super stud running back that you got there at Minnesota. So I still stick with my original thought of Khalil being the best fit for the Vikings.
I'm going to hold on to that. Now let me give you, I'm going to play the devil's advocate here. They still got concerns in the secondary. They have not addressed. They didn't address it all season, you know, in the free agency. So if that's the case, is it a possibility that Claiborne could sneak in there?
But that's always a possibility, but you also have to look at, you know, from a cornerback standpoint, there's probably, you know, 36 corners on the board that could potentially be taken. And just because you're a first round pick doesn't always make you the first Pro Bowler, who gets named as a rookie. And I think that, you know, with Coach Frazier, he knows how to develop a young player and get him ready. And they may not get a guy like Claiborne in the first round, but they certainly could probably find a guy like Claiborne in the second round.
Yeah, because you got a lot of depth there. You got Mark Barron, the safety. You got Denoris Jenkins, which is we'll talk about those issues around him. You got Dre Kilpatrick. You got Stephen Gilmore. And you got Melvin Ingram. So those guys are like the top ones, you know, DBs that are out there. It's not as deep as it is in the defensive linemen, but it is deep. And so there are some really good choices there, which a lot of people are saying that this really is going to be a defensive draft. There's truly going to be a defensive draft because a lot of the teams have got a lot of older players in a lot of positions that are past 8 years or so in those positions. Now, I'm going to give another little devil advocate here. Keep in mind, this is the aerial division. You've got Minnesota Vikings, you've got, you know, the Packers, and you got the Bears, right?
Correct.
And they love to throw the ball. So what does that tell you? There got to be somebody to stop that. Got to have somebody there. So I'm going to leave Claiborne out there because that's what must be on people's minds right now. Have they taken care of the secondary, and how are they going to basically be able to stop some of these wide receivers, and how are they going to get in there and get some of those interceptions? And so that's why, again, Claiborne would match up really nicely with one of those players there. You got Percy Harvin there, for instance. Okay? So I'm just wondering if you think that maybe there's a real possibility it could happen. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your percentage on it? It could happen.
That Claiborne go to the Vikings?
Uh-huh.
A 2?
All right, then. I'm going with that, Coach. All right. Okay, let's go back to character issues. Now, we know character is really, really important. And I tell you, this young man, Janoris Jenkins, you know, he's trying to avoid a generation curse. Nobody in his family has ever gone to college. All his family pretty much have been involved in crime and drugs. He's trying to make the difference. And I know when you were with Florida, you saw a lot of kids coming probably from the same walk of life trying to make it better for themselves, staying with those checkered paths. Now, George Jenkins has a couple things happen to him. When he was at Florida, he was arrested 3 times for drugs. And then he admits during the combine that he used drugs when he was at North Alabama, I mean, in Alabama. So, which means that he never did stop using marijuana until after they started doing drug testing for him. But it seems like the young man is trying to exit his demons out of here. But the thing is that he also got 4 children by 3 different women. Okay? So, I mean, is this piece of crap? Is he a bust? I mean, I know it's pushing his stock down. Some people say he's probably better than Claiborne. But it's pushing his stock down, and I don't know, how do you cure somebody like that? And who would take a chance on someone like that?
Well, I think that you always look at production and tolerance. And because of the character issues, you know, he's going to get dinged, and he's going to slide. And as he slides, he becomes more desirable as you get into lower rounds. And, you know, and there have been quite a few players who had character flaws who were still drafted and who still had an opportunity, and some of them turned the corner and some of them continued their same old ways and they were out of the league. But, you know, the price that you pay now for first rounders is a lot less than what it used to be. And so I think there's going to be quite a few teams in the discussion when this kid comes up to be considered.
Okay. And now, keep in mind, the way the collective bargaining agreement is written right now, 1 to 10, you know, is you have the average of the top player, and then from 3 to 25, you know, you have, you know, the average of, you know, that particular group as well. So it's less money from 3 to 28 than it is from 1 to 10. And then look at the 1 to 10. You're also looking in the first round, potential of a 5-year contract. I mean, so now I'm going to give a little positive push for him. He did move out of Florida. He went to stay with a person who was like almost a drill sergeant. He took drug tests after he was first found out taking drugs. He took drug tests like every single day, okay? He also stayed with his studies, and he's going to return to Florida to complete his degree, so he did okay in that. So he made a real effort to try to turn his life around. Is that enough?
I think it still comes back to, you know, what does that team's need, and how does he fit with that team? And who is going to mentor this kid? Who's going to bring him in and help him, you know, polish up some of these character flaws? Because remember, when he comes with the team and he brings that baggage with him, you know, and if he can't control his personal life, and then there's an old saying, don't make your problem my problem. So if he's going to make his personal problems the team problems, then there's going to be some issues there. If he can keep that separate and keep it clean and keep it out of the media and out of the press, now he's got a chance. And just to do these things now, just before the draft, I don't think it's going to be enough where teams would really just take a shot at you as if though you were squeaky clean from the beginning, like all the other picks around it.
So you think maybe perhaps with this in the midst, he falls to the second round?
I think so. I mean, you know, it could be second round, it could be the third round. And if he has the third round, there'll be quite a few teams there ready to get into the mix.
It's worthwhile taking a chance at that level, I'm certain, in that regard. Okay. Okay, well, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and continue our projections here for the 2012 NFL Draft. I've got with me in my studio nobody other than Super Coach, Coach Ricky Huntley. We'll be back again. We're on both sides of the ball with Coach Ricky Huntley. Thanks.
internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
What does building a family mean to you? Nobody has experienced the pain and joy of family life in a way that Freddie Scott has. And his experiences in life, in sports, and business can help you create a successful family future. We'll cover many aspects of family building and management with a focus on fatherhood. Men and women want their families to succeed during these tough times. Our show will give you hope for the future and practical tools for a successful family. Tune in to the Freddie Scott Show, Tackling the Game of Life, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyet, and we are on the clock in the war room with Coach Ricky Huntley, and we're talking about the first round draft that is going to begin on Thursday, 8 p.m. You want to have your pencil and paper here because you are getting the word right here from Coach Huntley. He understands both sides of the ball. He knows exactly what's at stake in this draft. He knows this is probably one of the best draft classes we've seen in years, and so making a mistake in the first round could maybe even cost your team your season. So we want to get back on the clock talking with Coach Huntley. Welcome back to the show, Coach Huntley.
Oh, thank you, Miss Ida.
Well, you know what? We get sometimes people that show up in the at the combine. I mean, they didn't show up in college, but they show up at the combine. And there's two names that come to mind here. Dontario Poe was one of them. He came in to the combine, and he really rocked that combine. I mean, they said, where did he come from? How could he be so great? When we look at the tapes, he does none of those things. I mean, was it that he didn't have the right assignment? Was it the position he was playing? What is it? What do you say on that? Is he a potential bust?
Well, I think that any time you have an opportunity after your season's over to go back to your college or go to one of these facilities and train specifically on the drills that they're going to use at the combine to get coached up on taking the Wunderlich test, to get coached up on your interview skills and how to answer certain questions, get coached up on going on the board and showing your base offense or your base defense and where you fit, you can project a perception that you're smarter than what you are or you're better prepared than what you are. And so for some guys, yeah, their stock can rise at a combine if they go out and they really put up good numbers. But in reality, when it all comes down to it, the majority of the scouts, the majority of the teams, and the majority of the coaches They live by the philosophy, I see better than I hear. And the tape don't lie. And they will look at this tape over and over and over and over again, and they will get their best assessment from the tape. Then the next thing they will do is do their background information on their character. And character is vital, because you want guys to can get not only get into the league, but can stay in the league. Because if you get a guy and you draft him, and all of a sudden he has a lot of baggage, he has a lot of issues, and he still has the same habits that he had in high school and college, and he's got all of his buddies and hanger-on friends and posse that he can't shake, and he wants to bring that with him. Not only is he bringing his own issues, but he's bringing their issues. And they have nothing to lose, and you've got everything to lose. And so sometimes these kids just can't seem to cut the cord from what they need to do to, you know, take their career to another level. You know, it's not all about friendships. It's about, you know, you doing what's best for yourself and your family. And sometimes you got to leave some people behind, and they need to grow up as well.
So, again, they're talking about them being lazy on the field, showing up at the combine, one-day wonder. So let's just say we're looking at the depth at the defensive linemen, Michael Brocker being the number one there, Quentin Copas moving up, Dontari Poe would have been the third choice based on his performance at the combine and pro day. So Fletcher Cox is standing there. Dontari Poe or Fletcher Cox, who do you take?
You know what? I think that I would take Poe. You know, you take the Pope, and you take a guy like him because I think he's got the most upside potential.
So in other words, you already see where Fletcher Cox has been out there. He's been playing. He's got a great, you know, he's got his, I mean, like you said, the tapes don't lie. I mean, he's got all this upside. I mean, at Carolina, you know, I mean, he was a great defensive tackle there. I mean, he's a stout man, you know, for the middle, and he adds pressure from the inside. So he's there. He's definitely there, and his stock has been rising in a very, very big way. When you look at Dontari Poe at Memphis, you know, some people say this is the second coming of, what's his name, Halati Nagata. You know, this is they're making comparisons to him, that he's willing to take the chance, and they'll bet on his ability to help live up to those chances. Because like you said, he's got the upside potential. So you think you go with Poe in that respect, is what you're saying.
Those big guys are so hard to find. They're so hard to find. And, you know, and you're going to see in the draft that people are going to reach up and find those big tackles and put those guys on their roster first. You know, Fletcher's a pass rusher, you know. And he's probably a low-risk guy. He'll probably make a Pro Bowl first, but these other guys, they'll stay. They'll last a longer time.
Okay, well, there you have it right there. So I know we assume Michael Brocker, you know, he's supposed to be the number one pick sitting out there. And Michael, you know, they say that, you know, here's somebody who is connected to Cox in recent weeks because they're pretty much very similar in terms of how they play, you know, and a lot of people are seeing his stock going down and Fletcher Cox going up. So it's kind of an interesting scenario there. And then you got Marsalis, who's a one-year wonder in college, but does he really have the ability to get to the quarterback? That's the big issue. And, you know, and so a lot of people project him going to the Jets because they think they need another pass rusher. So he would be a real threat, you know, if they take him. So you're sitting there, you've really got some choices there. That's why defensive end and defensive tackles, I think they're going to be interchangeable in this draft as people begin to look at how can we get to these quarterbacks, because it's going to be a quarterback year. We know that already. We listen, you know, on I-95 is going to be a quarterback year. We know that already. And then Peyton west of the Rockies is making it a quarterback year as well. So, you know, we know we're going to be looking at a quarterback year here in that regard. So we want to make sure we stay up on that. Now, let's go in and let's talk about Justin Blackmon. Justin Blackmon, he's a wide receiver. And, you know, a lot of people have him all over the map. I mean, he's all over the map. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, okay, Justin Blackman, you know, he's from Oklahoma. He's at Oklahoma. You know, he's a great addition to, like, Steve Johnson at the Bills, okay? And reason for that is they would be really great firepower on offense. And he could actually help him be a real complement as receiver. And then you see him again. They got him going to the Rams. You know, and but the Rams will use him as another weapon. And so, I mean, he's one of those ones that also have a few character issues. He was arrested for DUI. But he seems to be overcoming that a little bit. You know, he's got a great personality. He speaks with eloquency, you know. And he seems to be a kind of person that you probably would trust in that regard. But how do you see him in this draft?
You know, when you look at the way he plays, I love watching Blackman play. And, you know, he brings a toughness to the game. But, you know, he plays bigger than he is. But he looks like a big receiver, but he's only 6'1". But when you look at Ashton Jeffrey, the kid out of South Carolina, I think he's the total package.
Okay.
I think he's the total package. And I think that, you know, he'll go one. Michael Floyd, Notre Dame, will go two. And Kendall Wright, the Baylor kid, you know, because he had RG3 throwing to him, four. And then I'll see Blackman. But all of these guys will be first-round picks. And because there's a lot of need for teams to put points on the board. And so these guys are going to find a home quick.
So we're looking at the top 10, really, in that regard. I know Michael Floyd is being projected in the top 10. There's consensus on that. Blackman is considered as a top 10 as well. Kendall Wright later in the rankings because his pro day, of course, improved from the combine. And then you got Stephen Hill that's climbing up. And another name that everybody's talking about is Reuben Randall. Reuben Randall is coming up very quickly, but I see him in the later round. I mean the actual later
round.
but not in the second round. I don't think he falls into the second round. I think you might see a lot of these wide receivers go because it is deep in the wide receiver cast this year. But these five guys seem to stay up front and personal right now with everybody. So I think that every team needs a weapon. If they're going for great quarterbacks, they need as many weapons as they can get in that regard. And so, you know, I think we're going to see some wide receivers going. But I don't know if you're going to see, I think you're probably going to see maybe one, two, or three in the first round. I think all the rest of them will probably start dropping into the second round. I mean, that's just my opinion. What do you think about that? Because I know, when you look at a lot of the people in the actual, free agency, there was a lot of wide receivers moving around. You know, we saw it in Cleveland. A lot of wide receivers was moving around. And we saw that also, you know, that happened, you know, with the Miami Dolphins. You know, we saw that. We also saw that. But again, it just started to trickle off after that. And particularly defensive tackles and defensive ends and quarterbacks were moving in the free agency. So everybody seems to be showing up, you know, for the aerial play. We've seen a lot of that. I think that they're expecting it's going to be some real throwing, but I'm going to go back to where it's cold and there's no retractable roof. You better get yourself some running backs, right? So, you know, you better get yourself some running backs, right? So I want to go into Richardson. Because Richardson is projected to be in either the top five, the top three, but you know, he has some medical issues. But he's such a really great running back. I mean, nobody's in his class. But some people are projecting he could fall as far as number six, but no further than that. What do you see Richardson really coming in this draft?
Well, you know, when you talk about Trent Richardson, comes from a great program. This kid here, he's probably the best power back. He's probably got the most upside potential. He'll probably be a Pro Bowl in his first year. And This kid is a no-brainer for a team that needs a running back. You don't pass on a player of this quality. And I cannot see this kid getting past Cleveland.
Okay. That's the fourth spot. Okay. You see him at the fourth spot. All right. Yeah, because they mean, so you don't think the Rams will move up again to try to get him? In other words, move up to the third spot to get him?
No, they have a solid running back. You know, they need to get some receiver help.
Okay. So you don't think he's going to fall no further than Cleveland? You think Cleveland might just sweep him right on up in that respect? That's an interesting play. So everybody's thinking that Cleveland was going to take Ryan Tannehill. And now what you're saying here is that they got enough quarterbacks. What they need to do is get some weapons.
They need to get some weapons. And okay. Like I said, you know, I'm firm on
Cleveland
my commitment.
And there's no retractable roof.
They need a running back to run the ball.
There you go. Awesome. Well, that's, you know, looking at that, I want to just look at some of the other ones in depth. Quarterbacks, okay? We talked about Osweiler, and he apparently was invited to the draft, so he's going to be up there and looking to see if he's going to get someone to pick up him, and we talked a little bit about that. Running backs, you got Lamar Miller after that. So I was just looking, when I was putting my draft choices down, I was looking where it was cold and it was no retractable roof, and saying, where would the next run back come from? And I just kept on looking, and there was just no consensus that another running back would be taken in this draft until way, way, way down. I mean, we're talking about almost to the bitter end, if at all. And it looks like the next running back would actually go into the second round, that there would not be another one taken. This guy Richardson is just that hot in that regard. I know Doug Martin is moving up, but he's just that hot. Now, what about tight ends? Because, you know, they say if you got an aerial type program, you got to have a tight end, you got to have running backs, you got to have wide receivers, and you got to have cornerbacks. So what about a tight end? You think maybe Kobe Flinner might be taken in a later part of the first round?
Well, it sounds like you've been doing your homework inside it, because Kobe Flinner is my number one choice when it comes to tight ends. I mean, he is a solid prospect. I think he's NFL ready. You know, he comes from a pro system. He's probably the fastest tight end in the draft, you know, and he's a low-risk guy. He's not going to bring any baggage. And so this is a safe bet and a good get for the team that needs a tight end.
Now, the closest that we see is the San Francisco 49ers. They said that this is the attack of the West. This is something that they need. It's imposing. He's not as imposing as Gronkowski, but they said that he can catch the ball well and he makes matchup headaches for defenses. So he's a knuckle-bumping road trip, you know, as they call him. You know, this kid can really attack. I mean, he's what they call a two-type tight end. Attack would go really well with San Francisco 49ers. What do you think about that? That's the only place I see him going. I don't see him anywhere else. Everybody else seems to have the right tight ends already. And tight end were picked up in the free agency in a very, very big way. So, but
I tell you, some teams that have had success with tight ends in the past, and two teams in particular in the same division that like the tight ends, and they like to use the two tight end set. You got the Dallas Cowboys sitting there at 14, and you got the Philadelphia Eagles sitting there at 15. And also, you know, the Jets, they like to run a lot of bootlegs with Sanchez, and now they have Tebow. That gives them a quick target, a quick dump-off to a big target that, you know, they can get the ball to, and he can run. And then you got the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, and, you know, they're sitting there at 17 with all these extra picks. And you can see where, you know, the tight end is kind of like the new involved
team. Don't forget the Steelers, because the Steelers love them tight ends, too.
Yeah.
That's the AMC North is what you're really talking about.
You're talking about that weather again, right?
That's right.
You're not going to have time to get that ball down the field. Get
there
the tight
it is.
End.
There it is.
I think he'll find a home between 14 and 24.
It was a big factor here. Absolutely. Weather is a big factor here, no question about it. Well, we're going to go to a break. We'll come back.
Actions speak louder than words, and you know.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Tune in to a show about making a comeback and what really goes on behind the scenes with your favorite athletes and beyond. Listen for The Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. A lot of people believe what they read on the internet, hear and see in the media, and on the news. We're going to give our guests the chance to tell the real story without the extra hype. It's not just sports, although that will be a focal point of the program. We'll also look at the world of celebrities, music, modeling, and more. Listen every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need a bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. If you've been with us in our last segments here, I've had you in the war room on the clock with Coach Ricky Huntley, and I just want to thank Coach Huntley for these last three episodes of us grinding out these great draft picks, and we're going to know on Thursday at 8 p.m. who's going to go first. It won't be a surprise. We know that Andrew Luck will go first. We know that, but we're going to be watching that third pick because everybody's betting that's when the trading up and trading down goes. So we'll be watching that very carefully. So, Coach, before we actually introduce our Sports Maverick of the Week, Coach, who goes last in this draft? I've got on my chart Dante Hightower.
Dante Hightower. Oh, wow. You know, there's always looking for a pass rush defensive end. And there's a kid out of Michigan State by the name of Ryan Van Bergen. So I'm going with Ryan Van Bergen, Michigan State.
What's his name? Ryan Van Bergen?
Bergen, B-E-R-G-E-N.
Bergen. Bergen, okay. Write that down.
He's out
of Michigan State.
Michigan, University of Michigan.
All right.
All right.
Okay, because you think it'll fit the New York Giants compliment.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, Coach, stay with us as we go to the last segment of our show. I just want to personally thank you for being with us over this month and just talking about both sides of the ball. And I am looking forward to seeing your name being announced as one of the next NFL coaches, if not the coach of Arizona. So I just want to put that out there in the airways and let people know we got a great coach here. You somebody needs to pick him up as soon as possible because he's a great coach, and we know he knows both sides of the ball. And maybe if you listen to these tapes, you know what you got here. At this hour, we're going to bring in our Sports Maverick of the Week, and it is no stranger to this show. His name is Vern Burns. Vern Burns is a pro golfer that, of course, has spent the last 2 years in Afghanistan. I want to welcome Vern personally back to the United States and back to the Sports Maverick family. Welcome back to the show, Vern.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be on this ground. It's good to be in the United States, and it's been a wonderful experience.
Awesome. Well, Vern, I know that, you know, it's been 3 weeks or so since you've been back, and I know that during your time over there, you did some very interesting things. You wrote a blog while you were there, and you really talked about your experience of being around the Afghanistan people, as well as their culture, their religion, and their lifestyle. Just briefly tell us, you know, how difficult was it for you to communicate to these individuals because there's a foreign language in between you here? And also, I understand that you actually were motivating them through playing golf and teaching them about golf. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, first of all, there's language barriers are, I wouldn't say simple to overcome, but in the grand scheme of things, we're all human. No matter how you slice it, how you look at it, from one polar north or south of this planet to another, we're all human. And so to cover that language barrier or to communicate through that language barrier, I did use golf to do so. And golf sometimes can be a feeling sport. It can be a result sport. So it helped in trying to get them to do what was necessary. And the Afghani people are really quick learners, and I mean all across the board. We're talking about a very primitive place in certain areas, and in the place that I was in, up in northern Afghanistan in the mountains near the Lokar province. But they learn very quickly, very eager to learn. And other than the ones that are, you know, trying to kill us while we're there, most of them are like you and me. They want to work. They work hard. They want to, you know, make a living and feed their family and play with their kids and have a happy home. I mean, they're not a lot different from us.
So golf was introduced to them because I usually in those cultures you have soccer, you have, you know, of course the camels, there's a big racing over there. How did they look at golf? Was it just a strange game or was it something just so new to them? I mean, embracing it must have been something like an event for them.
Well, it was. I mean, the times that in between their work, you know, I have to explain that, first of all, I could not leave the base. That is not only forbidden, it's not a smart thing to do. If I leave the base, then your life is more so in jeopardy. I mean, you're not safe on the base because of rockets and mortars and snipers. But if you leave the base, then even the U.S. can't protect you. So these people would come on the base to work on the base, some of them, and they looked at golf with wide eyes because I literally set up my own little practice area out there to pass some of the time where I would hit balls into a netting. I actually, you know, through a mailing, I had someone send me a golf net, a store out in the United States, and they sent it right over. And they were watching me do it, and within seconds, they wanted to try. Within seconds, they wanted to see if they could do it. I would say 2 out of 8 were just like anywhere else. They picked up on it right away, and the next thing you know, they're, you know, after 2 or 3 swings, they're hitting the golf ball, getting it airborne, getting it up into the net. So they looked at it as, you know, let me try, let me try, let me try. And that's kind of the basis for them. Let me try.
So can golf transcend war?
Can golf transcend war? No. I don't think it can transcend war as a whole. I do believe that golf is a medium that can be used to, I say, soften those who are maybe sitting on the fence or those who have a different type of climate about their life. They're not very violent. They don't believe in killing, and I don't care what the papers and what the media says, so forth and so on. After being over there, I know that all people in Afghanistan do not want to kill us. They don't. I've met some wonderful people from Afghanistan, but I've met some rotten people from Afghanistan. I've looked the Taliban in the eye, a cousin of someone who's working there who gets on the base, and you know they get the information and they run off the base, and then later on that night they're throwing mortars and rockets at us. So I've looked at the hatred. I've seen the hatred in the eyes, and it is serious. But by the same token, there is a percentage of them who don't want any part of that. So, you know, can it transcend war? Probably not. I think human beings will always have war. But in terms of giving them another outlet or seeing another facet of quote-unquote freedom or another facet of the United States that is a, you know, relatively pleasant one, and a challenging one, it's great.
Excellent, excellent. And I know now you've been back about 3 weeks. Tell us exactly what's on your table and what are you looking to do? Because I know you've always talked about being a motivation speaker. So is that still on your table? Are you still looking at that? And obviously you're looking to be able to place that ball on the green at a PGA one day. So tell us exactly what's on your table right now.
Well, there's a couple things going on. First of all, I've been back about 11 days. 11, 12 days, not quite 2 weeks yet. And on my table is the motivation. I want to carry on some of the things I've learned from the different cultures, and being in Afghanistan was one of them, but even traveling outside of Afghanistan or even coming home, I've stopped in, you know, Dubai several times. I've stopped in Ireland. I've stopped in Germany. I've stopped in Abu Dhabi. I've stopped in several places and gained the experience of human beings and human beings all across the world, human beings from all different walks of life, human beings from India, human beings from Pakistan. I've met many from there, human beings from the UAE, human beings from Australia, on and on and on and on. And there's a common thread, there's a lot of power, and there's a lot of things that I want to convey. So the public speaking is definitely in the forefront. Now, as far as playing golf goes, I am working hard at it now, I'm practicing at it, and it looks like I got something left, so I'm going to go ahead and do that and stick a few tees in the ground and go after a few tournaments. So everything's full speed ahead, and you know, I'm enjoying it right now, but it's a lot of work left to be done.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, the good news came out today that Dubai has actually received the 2013 Peace and Sports Forum. So the next forum will be in Dubai. And, of course, you know, Crown Prince Mohammed has accepted that role, which is to introduce peace and sports in together, to basically help to start maybe helping some of these war-torn areas. So clearly, you know, Americans being over there in these places have maybe imparted a little bit of some of that, you know, sports. And so sports is becoming a big thing now. And with the prince being involved in this, I expect that it's going to be very explosive, you know, in the region as they plan to really kick it off in 2013. And I haven't spoken to the prince in many years. I think I better give him a phone call because that sounds like something that, you know, you haven't been over there. You may want to attend because I know I like to attend that. That sounds like fun. Like it's going to be really great because those are forums about just that whole thing. Can sports transcend war? Can it really help to basically bring peace? And that's what that's all about. And so we're so proud of you because just going over there and obviously following your dreams, going over there, you know, doing the things you needed to do, but at the same time, being able to, without any unselfish intentions, to help others. and to really, you know, I call it motivate and inspire people you didn't even know, you know, and to give them that joy of knowing that, you know, there's things that you can do with Americans. So I think you played a very important role out there, and we're so proud of you, and that's why we call you our Sports Maverick of the Week. So I want to congratulate you on becoming our Sports Maverick of the Week. Congratulations to you. And we'll have a trophy to you in the mail celebrating that time. So awesome, awesome. Coach, what do you say about that? Oh, Coach is gone. Okay. Well, you know, folks, we just really have had a great time here tonight. You know, we just welcome Vern Burns back. We're so happy to have him back in the States. We're so happy to have him because he has served as our co-host on many, many occasions, and he has really taught us a lot about the world of golf, and I'm expecting we'll continue to learn more and more from him as we go forth, and what a jewel to have him back and have him back in the studio with us, and we're going to be watching his progress and reporting back to you so you can keep track of it and all that. And also, I know there's a book in there, Vern. So where's the book coming out?
Wow, if I had one more hand and one more brain, I could have it come out at the same time, but I anticipate that coming out soon. I certainly have written enough to have it out there. I just can be rather meticulous and picky, if you will, as to the content of it. So it'll be out, and it's already on the drawing board.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And see that again, you know, you got to tell your story, and I think a lot of times people experience things and they don't put it in writing, and one of the great things you've done, you started this blog, so you let people actually be with you while you were in Afghanistan versus just hearing about you, and I think that's fabulous. I mean, technology is great, isn't it? It is so great that it can actually put you right there in the battlefield with your loved ones at the same time, and that just really helps you really kind of hopefully get through those things in that regard. And the book, I'm sure the book probably has got a movie with it, too. So let's talk about the movie, too. Let's talk about open mind about the movie, too, because I know there's a movie there. So, I mean, when did you go and experience all these things and not let everybody share that? What a great lesson of life for people to know that, you know, sometimes people are different, and they're not what's portrayed in the news and all of that, and to be able to show some of that. And I do know with Peace and Sports, they're always looking for contributions for you to tell your story. So, you know, I'll make sure I'll get you that application from Peace and Sports that you want to make an application. So maybe 2013, your return, and maybe be able to tell your story there. Amen?
There we go.
Anyway, folks, we are getting to the end of our hour here. This is it. We've had a blast here. Thursday, 8 o'clock p.m., we'll be on the clock with the NFL 2012 draft. I welcome you to the show at that time. I want to thank you for listening in. And again, we'll be back to you with the results of that and some bragging rights from our Sports Maverick contest. And those that are out there taking notes, you know who you are. Good night.
Actions speak louder than words, and you know, talk is cheap.
Thank you for joining Ida Moyet and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.